game two in the books. Real Kipper and Bourne, right back at you. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Smiling Sammy McKee. Derek Brandale, David Sis, Boom Bah, with you for the next hour on the Leaf edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. And always give us a download when you can't catch us live. And text us at 590-590. It's a little still early in the week, but we'll look at them.
If it's a home run, we might address it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But we have a ton to get into, including a terrific bounce-back game for the Toronto Maple Leafs, taking the Boston Bruins down at the TD Garden 3-2. Mm-hmm. Who called 3-2?
I remember it was you.
Did you say 3-2?
I did.
Wow.
You know, and 3-2 isn't that far off 2-1, and you just blew me off like an 0-2 fastball.
Who did?
You did yesterday.
I said 4-3.
I know that. I'm saying that it would be nice if the Leafs could win a 2-1 score, and you said not going to happen.
Yes.
That's your exact word. 3-2 isn't that far off from 2-1.
It's way off. Oh, they haven't scored three in 8 games.
It was still a
two
good
extra goals.
It's,
in fact, we do not agree.
Two. Yeah. Wow.
You see these playoff games. They're tight, Kippy. That's a big difference.
Did the Leafs find a different way to win without needing 5 or 6 is the point?
Yeah. Hey, I will say, the idea you were going for with that they could win with defensive play and structure and all that was correct. They were patient. They didn't give up rushes. They let the game come to them, and they won. They won. And you feel pretty good about things today, don't you? I don't know. I know, Kip, that's not your natural inclination necessarily, but if you're a Leafs fan, I think you got to feel okay. Yeah. I don't think they played great last night. I shouldn't say I don't think they played great. They played great. I don't think their individual great players are playing great yet outside Matthews, and there's more to give, and they're 1-1. That's a good thing.
One of my favorite publications or whatever I see on Twitter is the Beaverton, and I would like to quote them by saying, Leaf fan who was sure they would be swept after game one, now equally as confident they're going to win the cup.
Well, there seems they are. This is where this town can just shoot itself in the foot.
Yeah.
Because it's either we're winning the cup or blow it up.
Yeah.
There is no in between.
Or should there be?
It is just the ultimate extreme.
Yeah. How do you feel today? How do you feel?
I think it's playing out the way I thought it would play out.
Yeah.
I called the Leafs in 7. I think this thing's going to go the distance. Mm-hmm. I think the Leafs are in a better position than they have been in the past. And I think last night's win proved it for me, because we saw a lot of things that could have easily thrown them for a loop and bury them 2-0 to come home.
Yeah.
So what I saw last night, which I haven't seen in the past consistently enough, is the resiliency mm-hmm. of a team to take something that bad happens to you mm-hmm. and not worry about it and not let it bleed into the rest of your night. Because we had ample reasons last night to think bad things could happen to lose this hockey game.
What's number one on the list?
Bad penalties, disallowed goals, right? Both of those things could have stopped them in their tracks.
To me, the big
trailing in the game.
To me, the thing that I'm most surprised it came back from is the goal at the end of the first period. To me, that's something that has sewered them in the past, where they go down in that moment where they played a great road period in the first period and they're 7 seconds away from getting out of it tied, and that happens. And that's just so easy to go back into the locker room and sit on it and talk about it. And they come out and they play great in the second. So
and it's a goal that you just have to look in the mirror and go, are you kidding me, guys?
Kidding me.
We can't sort this out. 7 seconds to go, mm-hmm. and it's like watching an episode of the Three Stooges bumping into each other. Like you've never been told what your assignments are on a face-off in your life. It was horrible.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
What stood out for you on that? Because we heard last night, you know, we heard various reasons what happened, including, I think, Kevin Bieksa, who mentioned that Marner should have come down. What did you see?
Well, you know, it's one of the places in I did an article with Andrew Brewer last week about, like, D-zone coverage. And so it's kind of two guys caught between where Benoit's coming up high. He's coming up with his guy and off the draw that is his guy, and it's okay to come up that high. But he kind of gets tangled with who's the winger there that he's up with.
Nyes.
Yeah. They kind of get tangled. So, yeah, Marner just kind of has to hold the net front. You know, when you dial back and look at the whole thing and say, that's the area of the ice that we don't need two guys out at the blue line, right? But, you know, that's got to be the area you protect first.
To use one of your favorite sayings, Borny, that was a soup sandwich of a play for
everyone.
Bit
of a soup sandwich.
Wow. Everyone, and I mean, and give Zach a credit, who makes an unbelievable no-look backhand pass off the half wall into the sweet spot for Pastrnak. But yeah, it wasn't pretty.
The first thing is center on center. Like, Tavares cannot, it's one thing to lose the draw. You cannot have your centerman underneath you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. And Tavares kind of struggled. I was surprised he took the face off.
Yeah.
I would have gone with Kampf at that point.
Yep.
He wasn't, at that point, he probably lost three or four face-offs at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I would have gone to Kampf, but he went with Tavares.
Yeah. That was a debatable decision, right? Not a great defensive line necessarily.
And, like, I look at the 2D here, and it's McCabe and Benoit.
Yeah.
It's 7 seconds to go. I don't need you that aggressive. Like, on a lost draw, like, your first instinct has to be in front of the net.
Mm-hmm.
Both those guys are so aggressive at the top of the circles.
Yeah.
Like, who's minding the net?
Let me ask you, is it part of the mindset there that there's so little time left in the period? That's like, if we get aggressive and we make one poke check, the period's over and we're out of it?
No, which is probably the wrong. It's related to what we talked about yesterday with the Edmondson pinch and the Reeves cover, which we were kind of on other sides of. This is the way they play.
That's right. That's right. We go. Like pressure.
Like, off a lost draw in the D zone, Benoit has a guy, and he took him out to the blue line. You know, that's just how they do it. So, again, it's a matter of situational stuff where you would tend to be more on the passive side.
Yeah, and for me, Marner's commitment is that side of the ice there. If he's not there and it goes D to D, then Lindholm has a complete lane to come in.
But you can challenge up.
There's no time. There was no time to recover off of that.
Yeah.
And it was just a colossal mistake.
Yeah. He's drifting up a little bit farther. It's always angle. What do they say? Angle over depth, you know, like being in the right lane or whatever. But he's probably just caught too high up there.
Okay, let's go to our first Kipper's Clipper of the day with Sheldon Keefe on his overview of game two.
Loved our resolve tonight, you know. Like you said, that goal at the end of the period there obviously gives them life and momentum going into the second. And, you know, the game has potential now to be in the back of your mind, to be similar to the one the other night. We didn't let that happen. Like you said, that. Between the Bertuzzi goal coming back, the Yarncroak goal, was it in, was it not in? I mean, there's some things kind of piling up that weren't really going our way, but the guys stayed with it. So great effort here on the road tonight and a really good team win.
The Yarncroak one was definitely not in.
Not in.
Not in. Like, you know, Leaf fans were delusional on that one. I was getting some texts.
There's some people that thought that was over the line.
Did you think that was it?
Not even remotely close.
Yeah.
Same.
I do want there to be the technology to physically, like, they can tell if you leave the store with an item when you walk through the whatever. Can we not tell if the puck leaves the
post? I go to the Rogers Center and get a beer at the Stop and Go, and they know I paid for it somehow.
Yeah, we can't tell if the puck has passed the post. So I want that technology, but no, I don't think that one
was it. That's very expensive.
That's a $22 beer right there.
Very expensive.
Part of me agrees with you, but part of me is like, the spirit of the game, that's a save. He saved it. Like, it didn't. Wow. You can't see it go over the line. You can't see it. There's no view of it. He saved it. Anyway,
okay, but spirit of the game.
Yeah, and let's not spend a gazillion dollars on a technology that needs to figure out what side of a hair you're on.
Also, lean on that one, Yarncroak. Get that one in there.
Oh, I thought he hit it hard. I liked it.
Anyways.
Yeah.
in the high stick, you'd think they're never going to score again.
The main issue for the Leafs coming out of game one was discipline penalties. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on the McCabe cross check early?
On Loco?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a penalty, I guess. But like in playoffs, I just thought he went down pretty easy to draw a penalty. He got, you shouldn't do that, but you put it in the ref's hands when you do that. Loco did what he had to do.
I thought that later in the game, they stayed true to the standard. And when Grizzlick hammered down Tavares in front of the net, it was borderline too.
That was a soft call.
But they called it too.
Yeah.
So, right. I mean, if they're going to do both.
But again, for the Leafs, there's time on clock that you have to pay attention.
Yeah.
That call, if the official wants to set an early standard and let you guys settle in, you're not getting the benefit of the doubt on that early cross check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say McCabe has made a few brain, he's a little excited sometimes. More turnovers than I'd like to see, more.
Live with the wire cross, die with the wire cross.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And sometimes wires stay
crossed. The one thing that I've noticed on occasion here is that left hand, right hand, mm-hmm. and McCabe with Benoit. There's sometimes when he gets handcuffed on his backhand and he carves it up a little bit mm-hmm. with the Boston forecheck here. Again, that's where it's a little subtle sometimes, but mm-hmm. there'd be much cleaner outs if he was a right-handed shot than picking something up on his backhand, trying to get to his forehand, and before you know it, black and gold are all over you, and there's seems to be a...
Well, much like Brody for a lot of this year, feels like he's playing the whole game handcuffed.
Yeah.
It's like you're just every play that you're trying to make, digging pucks out against these furious forecheckers is on your backhand. That's no fun. So.
For sure. The major stories from last night's game for me are the performance of Austin Matthews, who, goal and two assists and, the most hits he's thrown since last year's playoffs and all sorts of good things. And then Samsonov. Also, gives up the goal at the end you guys talked about and really locks it down after that. You guys have a preference or an opinion where to start?
Let's start with Sheldon Keefe on his top line. Clip three, Derek.
I would say just how they competed, how they worked. Austin, goal and two assists, and he's all over the stat sheet tonight in so many regards. He's affecting the game positively for us. But to me, just the way he worked, where he competed, he was hard, physical, winning puck battles all over the ice. And I would say the same thing about Bert and Domi. Really good. It was a huge goal by Max. Great pass, to find Austin in the manner that he did. Like that's big time stuff, the way those guys connected there and the finish. It was really great. So, yeah, I love that line. I guess I loved a lot about our game here tonight, all the way through the lineup.
That's a coach reacting to what you talked about, the patience and the solid play.
Yeah.
They waited for the chances and took advantage.
The one thing that, again, was an excellent sign is they give up the power play goal to Geeky, and then right away, hard forecheck.
Yep.
And their puck pressure was night and day.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Boston had Toronto in the first game, and that's where the Leafs had them last night, was that puck pressure. It was Max's forecheck on Lindholm that kept the play alive to come back, where Matthews ended up with the shot that hit the post, the crossbar, yep. And then Max is in a position to bury a rebound. But
not an easy play either. Digging it out of his feet, hammering it home was a good play by Max in front of the net.
But the play was won off of his initial forecheck on Lindholm. And that was pretty consistent throughout the whole night.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's a real theme of the game, and the fourth line I thought was really effective getting in on the role of F1 on a forecheck is to get the breakout stopped. You don't have to win the puck, just stop them from that progress. And I thought all night the Leafs were able to get them stopped, and from there they're able to bring in support and turn pucks over and play in the offensive zone. I think it hurt Boston being without Andrew Peak. They didn't have their third pair, so they weren't able to get the exact roll out of their decor, and sounds like they've called up Mason Lowry to step in now with Peak possibly out for could be the whole series.
All right, well, we're going to get into Samsonov and the goaltending for sure, but coming out of yesterday's show, of course, everybody's question in terms of the Boston Bruins are who the Leafs going to see, Allmark or Swayman. I mean, I said I don't care. I mean, I get that you've switched these guys back and forth for the last, what, 27 games, but this is the playoffs, man. You had a top performance out of a goaltender. Mm-hmm. How do you not go back to him? Of course, Allmark made brilliant saves, but he lost.
One too many. One too many, right? The Tavares one's probably the one.
What were your thoughts? It's okay for them?
I truly can't believe that he didn't start Swayman. A guy was absolutely floored.
They got mind-effed from the year before.
But, I mean, they talk about how they've been switching back and forth, and I get it. And I think it was a weird decision to not go back to Swayman, who absolutely owns the Leafs. I know you're, like you just said, it's the playoffs. And Allmark was really good in that game. And he made a bunch of great saves. You think about the one that he makes on Yarncroc, the one on Robertson late in the third period.
He did. That's an unbelievable save.
But if we were sitting here and the Leafs were the Boston Bruins and Sheldon Keefe had made the decision to switch away from Swayman, who owns the Boston Bruins in this alternate universe, we would be killing him for that decision.
Yeah.
And Jim Montgomery put his you-know-what on the table, and he made the call, and they lost, and he deserves criticism for it.
I could see myself defending him if I were a Fisher Bruins show.
They're up 2-1. Tavares makes a nice play to save a loose puck. Has to go back for it. Yeah, it was a one-handed puck retrieval. Turns around. Simmer called it just a little bit of a delay, and then goes short side on Allmark. That's not going in on Swayman. I'm telling you now.
I texted that exact same thing to multiple friends.
That Swayman is stopping Tavares's shot. Is that the difference in the game? But lights out saves.
Yeah.
But that's the one that can't go in.
Yeah.
For me.
No, hey, I think it's to the Leafs' advantage that they have some of their own ghosts. That to me is last year they went up, what did they go up on Florida? 3-1.
They went up 3-1.
And that was with Allmark all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had good games with Allmark and, you know, okay, we're sticking him in. Then, okay, he loses. We're going to stick with him. I just think they said, hey, we can't do that again. We have to go back and forth. And that seemed to work to the Leafs' advantage, which is nice.
Do you want to hear Montgomery talk about on it? Clip 3, Montgomery, Derek.
No second guesses. He was terrific. He made multiple big-time saves. And it's the strength of our team. Both of them played really well, right? I mean, we only scored 2 goals.
By the way, boys, Montgomery's. Still not Palmer's. I'm cutting these clips. It's
tougher listen, is it?
Bleeding a stone a little bit here.
It just opens him up, right? Like there is a possibility that these two goalies could be good enough just to lose this series.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
And that's one of the first things people are going to say.
I know we're a Leafs show and we're going to talk more about what happened on the Leafs side of things. So if on Wednesday night, Bruins and Leafs play in Toronto and Swayman's good again and the Bruins win, does he go back to Allmark? Because he sticks Swayman again.
I think unless it was a shutout, I think he would.
You think he would go back to Allmark again?
He said he thinks Allmark was great, and I think he has a great case to be made there. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's what I think he'd do. So
there are some coaches, general managers that are just stubborn sometimes, and it's they got to prove how smart they are, and the best way you can do that is by sticking to what you believe in.
Buddy, this is the dude.
Even.
Way.
Yeah.
Right?
There's kind of a general manager out here. Can and we will kind of thing.
We've seen it here on occasion.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But that's the Leafs made a decision. I sat here and I said there's things I didn't like about the Leaf blue line, and I contemplated TJ Brody going in there yesterday, and they said, no, we're going to stick with what we did. And sure enough, it was good enough for the win.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, they didn't change much from game one. The Leafs, the way they played, the personnel, the lineup, nothing. They just kind of went back to it, and it was good enough to win. You know, I think some of Boston's, you know, he called it a strength of their team, the goaltending, but I think some of their shortcomings were exposed a bit last night in that we've said that the decor hasn't been great. We talked about McCabe kind of fumbling it around. So there's some people on Edmondson. I've heard people get on Labushkin for things. Like, there's people on the Leafs decor. Boston didn't generate much. You know, they're the 14th best offense in the NHL in the regular season. You cut that down to 16 teams. You have one of the lesser offenses in the league, and it plays into the Leafs'
Montgomery
hands.
Montgomery talked about that exact thing. Okay. Not the most electrifying clip, but he talks about it. So clip four, Montgomery, Derek.
I think it's a function of their defending well. It's also a function of we're not playing fast enough. Like, we're slow in transition, which is not allowing us to possess pucks, and it's not allowing us to get in on the forecheck well enough.
Yeah.
The only thing that I think comes naturally to Boston's offense is Pastrnak.
Oh,
that's
I mean,
it.
He's a freak, right?
That's
it. He's one of the few best on earth.
Everyone else, and I include Marchand, has to be a meat and potatoes kind of guy first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zach, like, you know, he has these flashes where he makes the play, but none of those guys are elite, so it is kind of passed on an island in terms of making plays. And again, that this should be an advantage for the Leafs. Their offense isn't great. They're, you know, having these sort of goalie issue already. One of their D-men is down. The Leafs have better to give. Like, I feel they're in a good spot here.
And you mentioned the decor. I mean, if you look on the other side with the Bruins, I mean, this is two games in a row now where Matthews has gotten in clean behind their best guy, just beating them straight up.
Was it Carlo?
Right?
He was
no, it was McAvoy.
McAvoy, boy, times.
Yeah, that in a million years, that he is the most dangerous guy on the planet. How do you let him get behind you?
I would get barely touched.
I think both of them are not great, but last night it's just a perfectly weighted flip pass. He catches it, lands in the sweet spot. Like, you can't let him get behind you. I get it, but Austin Matthews is pretty good, pretty powerful. He's moving his legs as fast as he can. Like, he's just better.
Just bump him. Bump him offside.
I think he tried,
him.
Kippy.
Grab him.
I think Matthews was just on a different planet last night. Well, so
Allmark wasn't within 3 feet of touching that puck.
No.
That was a cathartic moment for Leafs fan who'd been waiting for Matthews to break out. And two third period for that moment to come, you called it one of the better playoff moments.
Well, I will say that, you know, he's breaking in there. And a lot of times you worry about guys and you think like, oh, man. There was never 1 second when he got behind and he had the puck on his stick where I didn't think he was scoring. Yeah. I had it in my gut. Makes that cut to the backhand, goes forehand, beautiful. Yeah. So, excellent moment.
Big goal.
All right, let's go to Sheldon Keefe on his number one goaltender, Sammy.
Yeah, it was great. You know, obviously, some really huge saves, key times. One start of third start stands out. One start of the second. He's important. I mean, I thought we played another really strong game defensively here tonight. It's never going to be perfect. The team, you know, they do a lot of good things that are going to, you know, stress your team defensively. And, he had to be there for us for sure. So, you know, he's a big part of this one here today. Like I said, it's a great team effort. We had some great individual efforts, no doubt. But really good team effort.
Hey, they haven't wavered on him in weeks.
And let me take this opportunity to take the L. I said I would start Wohl. Wrong. Samsonov got another chance. He was excellent. And now you're in a much better spot, you know, with a guy who showed that he can handle some down moments and bounce back. And I think, you know, that's a lesson learned for him over this season, showing some mental resilience, which is great. Mm. Good things, positive things.
And it was hairy at the end of the game. Like, they had
chances.
Great opportunity to send this game in overtime redirect of Zacha.
Did you hear Bonesy?
No.
The call?
No.
I mean, it's one of the funniest things ever, and then they're all digging away. And
did you clip it for us?
No, he goes, would somebody blow the damn whistle?
You know, Matthews saves that goal, right? He's behind him, and he tucks it back into him. And Samsonov, at the time, I was like, battle. Like, let's see you flip. But, you know, the commentary from Simmer on that one was right, in that if you move, you may open it up. You may
knock
put it in your
in.
Own net. Like, you just kind of have to trust it's somewhere under you, and guys will push it there. So you got her done. Got it across the line.
No issues with the high stick at all for you?
Bertuzzi?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Clear high stick.
Yeah.
High stick.
I wonder how the official kind of credited a goal.
Well, sure, but I know. My thought at the time.
First of all, it's very rare that
they overturn.
Yeah. That they don't see it first. They're at ice level.
Yeah. My thought initially was that everyone agreed he was coming from a high area, but if the ref just thought the puck, you know, was below the crossbar at the time of contact, it's okay. And initially I did think it was lower than it was. First view, though, was like,
When he scored as a high stick.
Yeah.
Immediate reaction was high stick. It looked high stick. Anyways. All right, Kippy. Do you want to talk about Marner?
You want to do it after the break or you want to do it now?
Let's do it after the break.
Okay. I was going to go to coming home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Let's go to Sheldon Keefe first and then we'll come out.
Clip five.
You know, I thought. Well, it's just a matter of recognizing, A, that this is the way it's going to be. It's going to be tough. It's two really good teams. You know, we believe in our group. We know we have a good team. We know we're up against here, right? This is, you know, they're one win away, I think, from finishing second overall in the league. And a few weeks ago, we thought they were going to make a push for the President's Trophy. Like, this is a really good team that we got a ton of respect for. They demand a lot of us, and I thought our guys were right there with them here tonight, and we're going to have to, you know, stand in there and keep pushing when we get on home ice.
Any worries at all about the Leafs just finding ways to relax a little bit more on the road than at home?
Yeah.
And all the doubters piling on?
I think they just, I mean, they've been doubted more than anybody they can. Like, I don't think there's any more doubt that can go around for this team. I think having won that game and the way it went and having Matthews sort of unlock the playoff stuff and have him play the way he did last night coming home, but maybe potentially get Willie back in the lineup. I think they're feeling pretty good coming home.
Just to kind of pick up on what I said earlier, the extremes, like, this Austin went from, he hasn't scored in so many playoff games and to like the greatest game in the history of the world last night. Yeah. And he was really good. But like, again, here in Toronto, what we want to do is be extreme. And we were going to build a statue for him last night.
I think there's a better case to be
best
made.
History in the world game. And come on, just calm down, everybody here.
See, there's a better case to be made for that after game one, when he's just as good and he doesn't get any points and everyone goes, this guy can't score against the Bruins and he never scored. You know,
it's hard. It's
very
the playoffs,
hard.
Right.
And you're right. And it's going to come, you know, stats over an 82 game season don't come, you know, he didn't get 1.2 points per game. He got 0.06, 4.01. That's how this goes. You're going to have good and bad games as long as you're playing consistently well, which he has been.
I blame certain people in this city, the media, they just go, like, they love it. They love it, eh?
You are the media.
Best game, but I'm not like that. I'm not like that.
No,
I'm like,
not for Matthews.
He played it. I'm like that with Marner. I'm like that with everybody, okay? Just, it's 1-1. It's the first round. Just calm yourselves all down with this was the greatest history in the world game by Austin. Come on. Just
everybody. I did see people saying that was like the best game of his playoff career or whatever. And I think, you know, to have that moment and have it in Boston, I think that's maybe a bit of an overreaction considering he scored two goals.
You got caught up in it too, like with the, you know, the most memorable.
So one of my I said it was one of my favorite moments in the last few years.
But he's
I'm a Leaf fan.
He's 60 minutes from going pointless. You're going to crap all over him because that's what we do.
I did not crap all over him. In fact, I said he was great. He was their best player in the first game. So maybe don't lump me into it.
Which will lead us into a Marner conversation.
Well, let's just have it
right
now.
No, we're not. We're going to break.
Okay.
We're going to break,
right.
And then we're going to come back because everybody's piling on this kid right now.
I feel like Kipper's about to call a witness. We're going to have someone come in and take the stand when we come back.
All right. Mitch Marner, what people expect out of him. What's happening to him after the break?
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Leaf edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. All in this hour on the Toronto Maple Leafs tying the series against the Boston Bruins, bringing it back to Toronto, tied 1-1 without offensive contributions from Willie Nylander yet.
Yes.
Or Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people out there calling out Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
Mm. And I'll go to you two first. What do you see? What's justified? What isn't, in your opinion? Start with you, JB.
I remember having this take around Columbus series and Montreal series, and that, you know, it's not that I feel like Mitch Marner's played badly in terms of there's no turnovers, you know, that I could be critical of or whatever. It's just there's an absence of greatness, which we know he possesses. Yeah. He hasn't flashed. He hasn't created in the same way that we know that he can. So for me, you know, the responsibility for him so often has been to get people going and make people around him better. And the Leafs have a little bit of that to him now, where they need to put him in a position to be the version of him. They're going to need him. They're not going to win a ton without him. But so,
prior to last night's Austin Matthews most incredible game in history, they were all kind of lumped into that together.
They were. I didn't agree with that they were or should have been. But
last night now, with Austin's 3 points, now there seems to be a real separation that Austin's the hero and Mitch is the GOAT. But prior to that, it was collectively, these guys need to get it done. And now it just seems to be Mitch.
Well,
alone.
I think all through the Florida series, there was great disappointment in all the stars because of their lack of, I think.
Were line mates before.
Yeah, and I think it's much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I'm kind of thinking of, Borny, is that now it's much more separate than it's ever been because they're not playing together. And I know they had a few shifts together last night where Keith loaded it up and tried to get both of them going. I understand that. But it's much more separate now where Matthews is thriving without Marner. And Marner is not thriving without Matthews.
Prior to going into the game last night, like, Mitch had the most production out of all of them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He had scored more than all of them, right?
Well, so, I don't know.
He has more career points than Austin, Willie, and Tavares's window that he's been a Toronto Maple Leaf. Okay. This guy's outscored them all, but yet. It was like Mitch doesn't show up in the playoffs.
But it's the bigger games.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the narrative of Mitch in the playoffs so much as, do you think he's played well through 2 games? And if not, why? What's going on?
Do you see who's his centerman is now?
He's the engine, right? He's supposed to drive a line.
He can't. First of all, they don't make plays. John Tavares is terrific in front of the net. Mm-hmm. He can shoot it in the net. He can redirect, but he can't make plays. They don't have the puck. If Mitch doesn't have the puck, what is he supposed to do? Nyes doesn't make plays. Nyes goes in there and he crashes people and he tries to open up lanes. Where is the offense going to come 5-on-5 with these three guys? Can you tell me?
From the guy that is an $11 million guy that, like, is leaned on.
He doesn't have the puck. Don't have the puck.
Isn't he supposed to get the puck? Isn't that part of what makes him great, is that he's digging pucks out? And that's what he does in the regular season, Kipper.
No. When he's got Austin, it's a different look, Sammy. Okay.
Is the desire to divorce him of personal responsibility?
There's
for
no
playing
personal
good.
Responsibility. There's not. But he's chasing the whole night. He doesn't have the puck. He's not big enough or strong enough to go get it, Sammy. He's not.
I know.
He's not. So, like, I see a guy that has to go out there and kill every penalty, and he doesn't have 5-on-5 minutes like the rest of the guys. He's low on his 5-on-5 even strength. Austin doesn't have to kill penalties. JT doesn't have to kill penalties. But this guy has to go out there and be the best penalty killer for them. I just think now that he's off that line, there is less expectations on 5-on-5. He's going to have to go get his points on the power play. That thing's going to have to get hot. But But JT isn't driving offense. He's not making plays. He's a below average passer. Mm. He can shoot it in the net. He can redirect. But John is not helping Mitch Marner create offense.
No, I mean, okay, but that's, it's not, you know, LeBron's teammates' responsibility to help him create offense. Like, the case forever was Mitch is worth Austin's money. Mitch is Austin. Mitch is Austin. How are they any different? He's more points than him. He's the best. Okay, well, then there's got to be some ability for him to take his teammates and say, I run a pretty good line here. And I don't think through two games he's done that. I think he can. And I think the team should put him in better spots to find that little bit, which he hasn't found yet. But right now, it's...
Yeah, it's hard. It is hard. It is a... It closes up. There's no question he doesn't have the time and space that he has, much like Austin does against a lot of teams that aren't in the playoffs now. But it is a different look right now. And right now, there's outside of Domi and Austin, it's a tough grind right now. It's a tough grind to create offense outside of that line right now.
Well, and, you know, the Leafs finally get three goals. They're missing having a third line option, and I think that allows Boston to key in on those lines and say, and also, if you are going to try to shut down a Marner, Tavares, Nyes line, there's a guy that you're going to focus on for sure in terms of possession and driving play and, you know, where your attention is going to go. So it's just, I think it's an encouraging thing because we know what he is and what he can do, but
I thought JT was really good last night. He gave everything he has, but like I know off air you were talking a little bit some of the things that drive you nuts about him.
Yeah, the long distance shots drive me nuts. It's like he forfeits possession taking these basketball.
So tell me how that's helping Mitch.
Well, it's certainly not. No, it's not helping him at all. But you know, it feels like passing the buck to me.
I just think I know. He's just got to be better. Like, it comes down to it. He has to be better. Like, if they have any chance to beat Boston and go and win a cup, Kipper, he has to be better than he has been in years past.
Listen,
and the first two games of this series, it is what it is.
There's no question that Austin or Max cannot do this by themselves. Willie has to come back. Mitch is going to have to find different ways to produce, power play, even strength. No doubt about it.
And he gets hosed last night. He makes a good play on the Bertuzzi goal that gets waved off. He would have had an assist there. You know, he's done some good things. Expectations are just high.
All right.
I mean, shouldn't they be high?
Yes.
Listen, it's not changing. I get it.
I mean, it's not like he's the guy that's just like, he's got the big payday and he's had some performances in the playoffs that have been good, but a lot of not great, and people measure them against that. It's always going to be there until it happens.
I guess what kills me is, like, if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, you don't look at another team and say they got Marchand and Pasternak and then sit and fight about which one's better or which one's, you know, during their primes. And it's like, these are the two most important Toronto Maple Leafs.
Did we play Sheldon on Marner?
We did not.
No, and he liked it.
Okay, I want to hear what he has to say.
He brought this up. I want to give context to this. I cut it into two separate things. But when asked about Matthews, he gave the full, like, the clip that we played about the top line, and then unprompted went into a long diatribe that we're going to play about Marner. So this is a second part of the question about the top line, so if we want to play it there.
You know, I thought this is a night here, you know, where Mitch Marner, I thought he's all over the game too. He's making plays offensively for us at different times. You know, great defensive plays. He's playing almost every shift against Pasternak and doing a really good job helping us there, penalty kill, you know, all the way through on down to, you know, the Holmberg line gave us great shifts. Camper line was good again. Like, really liked our effort here tonight.
Yeah, and just to kind of, again, this guy's got a conscience for being third guy high, better than any of those other guys over how many years they've been Leafs. This guy plays with a defense in mind. And if it's taking something away from him offensively, people got to have to just accept that this time of year, that maybe the offense will not be there if he's not with Austin.
But the thing that kills people, Kipper, is that responsibility plus the production is always there in the regular season. That's the package. That's why you pay him $11 million. You're not paying $11 million for David Kampf here. You want a guy that's going to give you both of those things. That's the reason he's high paid. That's the reason the expectations. That's the reason why people get pissed. So there.
I think that's well said.
All good?
All right. Where do you guys want to go from here?
Fourth line.
So Ryan Reeves would be really hard. Like if Willie's back, someone asked me today who would come out if it's if Ryan Reeves is the name. And for me, it's not. I thought Ryan Reeves good on the forecheck, physical, turning pucks over. Robertson had chances. I actually really liked Robertson. We're at the point where I don't even know who would come out.
No, it has to be Nick Robertson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said this to you guys a week and a half ago. The Leafs need Ryan Reeves more than they need Nick Robertson in the lineup when Ryan's doing Ryan things.
Yeah.
It's more important. It's a heavier. He can hurt people, man.
Just chatting with Maroon a bit last night. And
that play behind the net where he pancaked two guys and then they drew a penalty on that same shift with his physicality. Like, I've been blown away by how good he's looked.
Considering how the first month went.
Yeah. It was much better.
Yeah.
Much better.
So let's listen to Sheldon Keefe on the fourth line, clip six.
Like the line. The line's been really good. They've got a very clear identity. Kampfer, you know, those guys, they can be really trusted defensively. They give you everything they have. And then and Revo, for quite some time, as we've talked about, has really done his job wonderfully. I thought he was really good here tonight again, all around the net, offensively, forecheck, really good on the wall in the defensive zone, all the things that you need from your fourth line. And you know, especially now, we've got two forwards out of our lineup. You know, it takes a hit of on our depth. We need to be able to get shifts from guys. Otherwise, it's just going to be way too much on our top people. So I need to put those guys in situations, and we need them to pull through on, whether it's them or Homer's line. Yarncroc's given them a lot of help defensively, but I think Homer and Robbie have done a really good job, too. That's really important right now while we're playing without guys especially. It's important all the time. But without the guys, you know, that we're playing without right now, or with the guys we're playing without, that's important that we get good shifts from those guys.
Yeah, I thought from top to bottom, the Leafs had better energy, and it goes to Montgomery in our clip with him saying we're too slow.
Yeah, and I like that Yarncroc is a guy they can take Reeves off when they're purely trying to not get scored on and say, we're going to start, you know, I think D-zone starts, he would go out with Yarncroc, Kampf, and Duehr, and that to me feels like, okay, it's Stanley Cup game 7, you're up 2-1, who's over the boards? David Kampf is your center, Yarncroc's with him, and maybe it's Duehr.
Yeah, I want to give full credit to David Kampf, who I think at points this year we were pretty hard on when he did not have good stretches. But this is clearly the time of year for David Kampf.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is
he's
David
long,
Kampf season.
He's just disrupts.
Heavy. Been playing well through two games for me.
What did you what went through you when you watched Kampf and Liljegren have the...
Oh, my God.
You take it. No, you take it. You take it.
That was a tough moment.
Maybe a couple expletives screamed at my television, probably.
You know what it reminded me of is like when a guy on your team shoots a puck and it's trickling into the net and someone rushes to poke it in and you don't criticize them because it's not in till it's in. That puck's not out till it's out. Like, don't wait for someone else. If you have the chance to do it, just finish the job. Don't say, oh, you know, you play through, buddy. No, go ahead and grab that thing, Kampfer, and fire it out of the zone, please.
There was one Liljegren rush up the ice that
Lily's getting filled
stopped dead in his tracks about 6 feet outside the Boston Bruin blue line that went right back the other way. And I'm like, oh boy, that Lily, we don't need a Bobby Orr moment there, buddy, from end to end rush.
Lily's saving grace is just being right-handed.
Oh, man.
He's got the worst underlying stats among all the D so far. Like, he hasn't been on for a whole lot of goodness. Yeah, the worst on the team right now. But he's just...
Really?
Yeah, which he's always near the top. So it's not been pretty. But yeah, I kind of like Brody, but I get the idea of not messing with that lineup after you get a win last game. The other thing we need to get to, and if we're, I don't think you have any Liljegren takes beyond that.
He terrifies me every time that he has the puck.
Is just Willie. And what's, if we're hearing anything on Willie, I see we have an update clip.
Again,
we do have a clip.
There's a lot of extremes here from, you know, this is standard playoff stuff where you just don't get much information to, they owe us an explanation.
Yeah. They don't owe us
anything. I don't think they owe us anything.
I'm telling you, there's people sitting there going, we need to know something now.
I'm hearing that too, for sure. This is ridiculous. And like, you know, the league should do something. It's like, no.
Oh, let's go to Sheldon's update on Willie, and then we'll come out and have a chat.
How optimistic are you that you might have Nylander available for game three?
Well, obviously, no update today because, you know, not much happening for us here today except for getting ready to travel. But it's a possibility for us tomorrow, I guess, is all we would say.
God bless Masters. Just going in there.
God, like, ask the question.
What did you think about, okay, if he can't play, then I don't want to see him on the ice. I don't want to see him practicing or looking gingerly. Does that matter to you either?
Yeah, it matters. It's like, it makes no sense. Like, he's got to find out. He's got to test whatever feels off and see how it feels.
Well, the clips that I saw, I'm like, I can't play.
Yeah, oh, really? Yeah.
That's what I got out of it.
Well, that's fine, but I'm not mad at him for trying.
Yeah.
I don't love the optics, but I'm a Dumbo fan, so.
What does it mean? I don't love the optics.
Like, well, you're out there twirling around, smiling, laughing with the guys, and you're taking line rushes.
Smiling, laughing thing. Like, it has nothing to do with his injury.
I mean, if you're out there taking line rushes and you're upright and skating and you're playing against the Boston Bruins in the first round, I might like you to contribute. I hope you're really hurt. I hope you're really sore. That's all I'm saying.
Hope you're really hurt.
So what does that mean?
Implication?
That he's not really hurt and
no,
he just doesn't want to play this time of year?
I just don't want to. I don't know. It's just I'm an idiot. And I watch him out there and I'm like, if he's good enough to do that. Like I've said a million times, guys play with broken legs.
He's good enough to do what? I just told you. The guy looked like he was like in a Halloween costume.
Got a sore back, for sure.
He
sucks
ain't
playing
right.
With a sore back. I get it.
He's whatever it is. It
they stole one without him. So maybe they can get him back in there and then you're laughing.
Hey. Mitch will break out. Willie will break out. They're 1-1 without them.
Yeah. And
producing.
And maybe not only is Willie going to be in a back brace, Matthew Nyes maybe in a body cast today.
Could anyone take more big hits in one game than
he
took last night?
Massive ones.
Absolutely crunched.
I just don't know. Like, and again, he's learning.
Yeah.
He's learning. Like, for Sheldon to have him on the ice with 7 seconds on a deep face-off, to me, is just one of those, okay, you got away with that one. The next one could cost you the series.
Yeah.
Get camp out there.
I had a friend bring over a boxer puppy to my house a while back, and like the puppy's feet are giant. It's a little dog, giant feet, and you're like, that's going to be a dog at some point. That's nice for me. Like, he's still in puppy form, just out there getting crushed and popping up and crushing guys and having a good time. You can tell it's the shape of a great player to me. I love the guy.
You can tell that he's still got, like, college habits.
A little bit. He's got some,
you know.
Pasternak rocked him.
Carlo munched him up, and so did McAvoy.
There's three separate Richter scale hits.
Yeah.
So.
We have Montgomery to close out our Leaf segment on how close this series is.
Yep, sure.
Let's finish on that one.
It's a series we knew all along. I mean, we were so close in the standings all year long, and they're a good hockey team. We're a good hockey team. It's the playoffs. It's, you know, they improved from game one to game two. We didn't improve enough. We need to get better for game three.
There
yep.
It is.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be fun to watch here. This is for
good
me
series.
Such a pick 'em right now.
Oh, it's going to be tight the whole way.
Yeah, you're going to get better from the Bruins. That was not a showing they're proud of. Montgomery talking about pace and playing quicker. And
but I do like the Leaf chances a lot more. Patrice Bergeron is home watching.
Yes.
Thank God. Hey, what a great career, Patrice. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you for all you've done.
By God, is that Patrice's music?
Oh, God.
All right. It's a good off day. We were calm.
Got through it.
I got some good conversations in, and we'll continue it in our next hour as we go national. Just to give Leaf fans one quick reminder how quickly things can turn with a potential injury to anyone. Vancouver Canucks will not have Thatcher Demko, their star goaltender, for tonight's game. He's out. How long he's out, we'll discuss on our next hour. Rob Brown next, former NHL forward, covers the Oilers for Ched, and much more on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Do not go away.